He just heard them sing in the heavenly language. Amen. English, of course. Amen. It's been a very, very delightful time and a joy to be here. I really appreciate it, seeing the heart of your pastor, and it was a joy to also get to meet many of you, some of the staff that I was able to have fellowship with, and also see the college and to see the ministry here, the academy, and your outreach to the community. What a blessing! What an example! And I thank the Lord for the heart of this church, and may God continue to use you to influence this whole area with the gospel, and to prepare servants of the Lord and to send around the world to preach the gospel and start churches. And it's been an awesome opportunity for me and privilege to be here. Thank you so much for your kindness. Thank you so much for the incredible food. The lunch today, my soul. I mean, it was incredible. And thank you so much. And it's been a joy also to get to know some of the missionaries and to see their burden and see their calling. And may the Lord continue to call out missionaries, because I believe that that's the greatness of America, all of the gospel that leaves America to the parts of the world, and the word of God being sent to so many parts of the world. And I believe there's hope for America while that continues, because it is a lighthouse. It really is. And may God have mercy on this country and pray for us that the Lord may find us faithful. And do covet your prayers for my wife, Karen. Her health is not well. And, you know, she's a real trooper. She's really amazing. But she does struggle a lot. And I do pray. I ask you to pray for her. And please come to visit us. I want to extend your pastor an invitation real soon. I want him to come be with us for our church, get to know him. But pray for us that God will allow us to be a blessing in Mexico. And thank you so much for your attentiveness. You've been an easy crowd to preach to. It's been a joy for me. I don't speak much in English. I guess in the last 3 years, I've preached like seven times, mainly in Spanish. It's not easy for me to preach in English, but thank you for being attentive and for hearing and for being receptive to the word of God. It's been a joy. Please stand on your feet and open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24. The Bible says in verse 46 through 49, "And said he, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." I've spoken to you on what missions consist of. I've spoken to you on why what should move us to fulfill the Great Commission. Tonight I want to speak on the need of the Great Commission, the need of the Great Commission. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a wonderful crowd here tonight. Thank you for the wonderful spirit that has prevailed in this conference. Thank you, Lord, for the vision of this church. Thank you for every missionary family that's here. May you bless them. May you allow them to soon be on the field. And may you do a great work through them. Please bless this service. You know the heart of the pastor and his prayer, that you may speak tonight to the church. And you know the need. And we yield ourselves to you. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would take control of my mind and my heart, and also the mind and heart of those that are here listening. And may Christ be exalted, and may his kingdom extend and grow because of tonight. Please, my Lord and Savior, I ask you this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is a very impacting passage. If you think about what has been said here, the Bible says in verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, it's Christ speaking, and thus it behooved, look at that word, behooved, Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. The word behooved means it was of necessity. It was needful. It was needful for Christ to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. It was needful that Christ die on the cross, that he was buried, and the third day he rose again from the dead. Why did it behoove Christ to die and to resurrect? For our salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, to have eternal life offered to all men because of the price that Christ paid. So it was needful. Without Christ dying and resurrecting, we'd be with no hope. We'd be condemned to an eternal hell. But it behooved Christ. It was necessary that Christ die on the cross and that he was resurrected the third day. But look with me, please, in verse 47. Notice the continuation of that same thought. And that it behooved Christ to die, to suffer, and to rise the third day. And that also, as it was necessary for Christ to die on the cross and to resurrect the third day, it's likewise necessary that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. See, it was necessary for Christ to pay the price. It's also necessary that the gospel be preached, that what he did be preached to all nations in the world. It was necessary. And it's necessary that we preach Christ around the world. Amen. I'm going to speak, what does the Great Commission need? Well, like I've just said right now, it needs that the gospel be preached because of the great need around the world. Remember what I just said. It behooved Christ. It was necessary for Christ to die and to rise again. It's likewise necessary that we preach Christ to the world. Just think about where you and I would be without Christ. And also think about what the world is like that does not know Christ. And why it's just as necessary as it was for the Son of God to become flesh and to take our sins. It's just necessary that we preach what he did to the entire world. There is a great need around the world. We must preach repentance and remission of sins. We must preach the gospel to all peoples. There are over 6,000 people groups in the world that are totally unreached. Now, 10 years ago, there was 12,000. And you know, it's a blessing to see that, as I studied this many years ago, there was 12,000 people groups. All together in the world, there's 24,000 people groups in the world. And 10 years ago, 12,000 still were considered unreached with no preacher, with no Bible. But today, there's 6,000 people groups because there's been ministries that have taken that to heart and have been reaching out to people groups around the world. But there's still 6,000 people groups around the world that have never heard one time the gospel, that do not have one verse in their language translated for them to be able to hear the gospel in their own language. and to have the Word of God in their own language. I saw statistics just recently of how fast the different religions of the world have grown. And you know, it's incredible how that Hinduism and Islam have grown faster than Christianity. While we send 4 or 5 missionaries to Africa a year, talking about Bible believers, the Muslims sent 1,000 missionaries to Africa. Much of the oil money in Saudi Arabia is going to support Muslim missionaries in Africa. There's a great need. There is such a need. And if you look at, did you know that in Mexico, the biggest, the Jehovah's Witnesses have the greatest, the most churches in Mexico than any part of the world? Mexico, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And the Mormons and how they have printed their material in over 230 nations of the world. They have material written for all those countries of the world, their material. Japan, 130 million people in Japan. In the last 10 years, I'm sorry, the last 20 years, there have been 300 new religions that have come up in Japan. 65 to 80% of the cities in Japan have not one gospel witness. I'm sorry, 86% have not one gospel witness. In India, there's 500,000 different cities and villages that have not one witness of the Word of God in India. 1,600 languages spoken in India. Only 687 of them have a copy or any scripture in their language. Andorra, not one missionary in Andorra that I know of. A small country near Spain with 80,000 of population and perhaps 10 to 20 believers. There's such a great need around the world. Did you know by the year 2050 that 66% of the world population will live in urban areas? How we need to start churches in urban areas around the world. We need to preach the gospel. I had the privilege several years ago to speak in Israel, in Tel Aviv. A missionary from Mexico named Samuel Esquivel started a church there in Tel Aviv. And he told me his story. He said, "Brother Ramos, when I came to Israel, I realized that I was told that I couldn't work like you work in Mexico because, of course, it's against the law to proselytize there in Israel and to knock door to door." And he said, "Brother Ramos, I began to ask God, what how am I going to reach these people so and to see people saved and the baptized believers and he began to just go into the park areas there in Tel Aviv and sit down next to people, give them the gospel and make friends at the store, invite them to their homes. And he started a church. In 7 years, he baptized 300 believers in Israel. That church sent missionaries back to their own country. That church supports missionaries around the world. And it's a soul-winning church right in the middle of Tel Aviv. Because see, when we are obedient to Christ's command, God will do supernatural work. The Great Commission needs that the gospel be preached around the world. Look with me, please, in the book of Mark, chapter 1. Book of Mark, chapter 1. The example of Christ. Bible says there in Mark chapter 1 and in verse 14, "And after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance and remission of sins shall be preached to all nations. Jesus said in Luke 24. Then look with me what it says in verse 30. This is Jesus saying, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Christ saying, I need to go to another city, another place to preach the gospel. To preach repentance of sin. How we need to preach the gospel to every nation. Second of all, please look with me there, Luke 24. The need of the Great Commission. Luke 24. Bible says there, and in verse 48, and ye are witnesses of these things. Second of all, the need of witnesses. Yes, the need of laborers, the need of soul winners, the need of evangelists, the need of missionaries, pastors going throughout the world. See, there is a great need of laborers. And we see there when Christ, and I mentioned this passage to you already, but when Christ was in Galilee and he saw the multitudes and had compassion on them, he said this, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore, Lord, harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The Great Commission needs more laborers. Had the privilege of speaking for Brother Botros there in Egypt with Brother Ezekiel Salazar there in Alexandria. And I was driven back to Cairo, and we crossed the Nile. And from there, we can see much of Cairo. And I asked the person who was taking me to the airport to stop, because I couldn't believe what I was looking at. All, there's 8 million people in Cairo. 8 million people. And the incredible need, I was just struck by the need of and yes, there's Muslims, and yes, there's but you know what, my brother, my sister, we need to pray for these places. We need to be begging God to send forth laborers to these cities and these countries. We need to say, Lord, if you want, I'm willing. Lord, there is a great need. And even though in the country of Mexico, by the grace of God, there's now about 3,000 independent Baptist churches. Praise the Lord. God has blessed the country of Mexico. But Mexico has 130 million people, under 30 million here, but about 130 million in Mexico. A country with still cities and villages and pueblos that have not one gospel witness. How we need laborers. Ye are witnesses of these things. I thank the Lord for the privilege of serving him. And you know, yes, there is a price to be paid. But what a privilege to represent Christ. What a privilege to be a missionary pastor. What a privilege to be called as an ambassador to another part of the world. I'm a Mexican, but my wife is American, and I was raised in this country. But what a privilege to be in a country where God is moving. And I would challenge you, please, to continue to pray for laborers. And for some of you here willing to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. But look with me, Luke chapter 24, please. The need of the Great Commission to preach the gospel. The need of laborers. But look with me there in verse 49. This is one I want to spend a little more time in this passage. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. as we're presented with the need around the world to preach to every nation, it's a humanly impossible task. We as Christians, we as churches need God's power. Jesus said, yes, you're witnesses, and I send you to preach the gospel to every nation of the world, all peoples of the world. But you need, first of all, to be endued with a power from on high. Unfortunately, today, we don't talk enough about the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want to remind you what Paul said. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. All we are is earthen vessels. We are weak. We are unable. The task is beyond our capacity, beyond our resources, beyond our ability. We must have the power of God moving in our lives, moving in our churches, that we may see supernatural works of God done around the world. We need the power of God. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to understand that the task before us, it's impossible. There's a real battle against the darkness of the world. There's a real spiritual battle for the souls of men today. And how we need Christians and preachers and evangelists and pastors and missionaries to spend time before God and begging God for His power. Zacharias was told, then he said, answered and spoken to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We need to be endured with a power from on high. You know, we need to be thirsty for the power of God. The Bible says, for I will pour water upon them, upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, that they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. We need to be thirsty. Today we have so much technology and so much capacities. Many times we're serving the Lord, but we're ignoring the fact that it's not by my strength, and it's not by my capacity, it's not by my resources. No, to do the work of God, to fulfill the Great Commission, to take the gospel to every creature, to translate the Word of God in languages that don't have the Word of God. We must have the power of God. We need the power of God to be poured into our lives. As there in the book of Joel, it says this, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And Jesus promised that he says, I will pray the Father, he shall give you a comforter, another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Yes, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When we trusted Christ, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. But oh, how we need to surrender our lives to His control, living an obedient life to the Holy Scriptures, living a separate life, living a life of prayer, living a life that surrendered to God, that His Holy Spirit might fill us. And the fullness of the Holy Spirit is available to all of us. And we need to understand that in order to fulfill the Great Commission, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's why Jesus said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then after that, you shall be witnesses both unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. John Hyde, Praying Hyde, and he's also called the Apostle of Prayer. As a young man, he was a pastor's son, and he was very active in the things of God, and he was a leader at the college he went to, always involved in the things of God. And God called him to India. He was a single man, single young man. And when he was leaving to go to India, before he boarded the ship that took him to India, ladies in his church, gave him a letter, and when he got on board the ship, he read the letter, and of course they told him they were going to be praying for him and giving him counsel, and they said this in that letter, and John, we are praying that you may one day be filled with the Holy Spirit. When he read that he thought to himself, but you know, I have been a fervent Christian. I have done so much for the Lord, and it really caused an effect in his mind and heart. But then he began to meditate on his need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He began to spend hours a day in prayer, asking God for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And there began the life of one of the greatest prayer warriors we've seen in many generations. And there in India, they would have meetings, and he would just go into an apartment building or a room in a church, and he would just pray 3 days at a time. Would not eat for 3 days. Just spent 3 days there on his knees asking God for blessing. And yes, there was revival that came, and thousands were saved. And the work of God was so blessed under his ministry, not because he was a preacher, but because he was a man of prayer. He had to leave India because of health problems, and he was there for 18 years. Eventually, he died of a brain tumor at a young age. But how we need today, young men, pastors, lay people, to spend time in prayer, seeking and asking God for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. One day I was traveling to speak in Mexico, and I was listening to the old cassettes. I know the young generation has no idea what those things are, but they're cassettes. I have a message on the Holy Spirit that Jack Howells preached. And as I was driving and listening to that message, he made a statement that I had never heard before, and it impacted my life. He said, do you know right now, that you're filled with the Spirit? Because if you're filled with the Spirit, you would know right now. And I thought to myself, oh my God, no, I'm not filled with the Spirit. And I had to pull over to the side of the road and spend time saying, Lord, is there sin in my life? Am I walking in the flesh? I'm not dependent on the Holy Spirit. I'm not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I don't yearn for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And yes, there's been many times in my life where I've had to come to that same place. Lord, I know I am not filled with the Holy Spirit. But we don't think about it often enough. We don't talk about it often enough. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, not only to fulfill the Great Commission, but to be a loving husband, to be a loving wife, to be a good father. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life.
Amen.
But we need the power of God in our lives if we're going to impact this world with the gospel. And today we have materially everything we need, humanly speaking, to impact the world with the gospel. But there's a great lack. And so much that's done, we lack the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying this tonight because I think I'm an example. No, I'm saying this tonight because I recognize it's my great need. if I'm going to continue seeing God bless our ministry and the outreach. We have so much vision to do great things for God, but all that will be of naught except we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Please look with me, Luke chapter 24. The Great Commission. Because of the great need, needs the gospel to be preached, needs witnesses, laborers, missionaries. It needs the power of God. But look with me there again in Luke 24, 49. And behold, I sent the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. What he was saying, go to Jerusalem. Yes, wait, tarry. But Jesus was saying, tarry in prayer. In prayer. Look with me, please, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. These all continued. 120 of the believers in the upper room, obeying the Lord's command, go to Jerusalem and tarry. And all these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The great need of the Great Commission is prayer. Is prayer. Without a doubt, probably today there's a lot less praying that's been done like was in the past. We're too busy. We're in Facebook, we're in YouTube, and WhatsApp, and how many hours a day do we spend sometimes on these phones? With apps and games. And so little prayer has been done. I sense your pastor's burden for America, like all of us should be burdened for America. That there comes a movement of God. But a movement of God demands that we, of God's people, spend time before God in prayer. Waste so much time watching series on Netflix. Hours watching NFL football. What does that give you spiritually? We do so little praying. Jesus told Peter, watch, and James and John, and sure he was talking to Peter because of what he had told Peter just a few hours before, watch and pray that he enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus said in Luke 18, It says this about Jesus, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And after the parable, he asked the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Because faith and prayer bond together. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Ye can do nothing.
How we need to go back to the prayer closet and learn to just stay before God in supplication and in brokenness and a humble heart, confession. When's the last time you spent time in prayer just simply confessing? Asking Him to use you. Asking for His help because you have to have them. The great need, the great commission is prayer. Pray for laborers. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord harvest that He might send forth laborers to the harvest. Pray, go tarry in Jerusalem that you may be filled with the power from on high. You be endued with the power from on high. We need to pray. Pray for the offering. Pray for the missionaries. Pray that God calls laborers. Pray for the missionaries that are in the front lines. They're trying to reach a people group with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, there's a spiritual domain in the Muslim world, but praise God, He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Jesus Christ has already defeated the devil. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. Prayer. Prevailing prayer. Several years ago, I had the privilege, and it was one of the greatest privileges I've had in my life. I was at a missions conference for missionaries and families there in Europe, in Mannheim. Mark Bachman led that with Brother Lancaster at that time, led that meeting for missionaries. And there was missionaries from Ireland, from Czechoslovakia, from Spain, from Italy, from many parts of Europe, and had the privilege of sharing a little bit in that missions conference. It was such a privilege. But the second to the last night of the conference, Brother Bachman invited the missionaries to pray all night. And about, I remember, 7 or 8 of us, maybe 9 of us, spent from 10 o'clock at night to 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning praying all night. And it was one of the most blessed spiritual experiences I've had in my life. So praying with Brother Bachman and his crying out to God. And it was just such a... We pray for different missionaries, and one of the men I prayed with was a missionary at that time, Czechoslovakia, and he was, brother, for 1 hour, he prayed, just for 1 whole hour, I was with him, just weeping and crying for the people of Czechoslovakia, the humanism, he said, and the atheism, and he had 8 believers that were now congregating in his home and so burdened, so broken. And I prayed with him and I kept in contact with him. And a year later, he had seen 40 others come to Christ that were now coming to his. And I know without a doubt, it's because of that man's prayer and brokenness. To pray. You know, I'm ashamed to say this. It's true. I fall into that trap. We feel that people have to hear preaching. And yes, preaching is God's. The Word of God is powerful. But there's so much preaching without prevailing prayer. Group of men, one Saturday night, they got together. They were burdened for their church because there was apathy and worldliness. And they said, we need God in our church. So they got together and they prayed all night. After studying the pastor of that same church without knowing that those men were praying all night, the pastor himself prayed all night, felt the same burden, and prayed all night for God to do something, to meet with power, to bring revival to that church. And that Sunday morning, the great preacher, Jonathan Edwards, preached his message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And revival broke out. That began a movement in the northern part of this great country. You know, the first great revival. The movement of God always begins with prayer. And if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, we're going to send out laborers and have an impact in this world for the cause of Christ, we need the power of God that comes through prayer and holy living. And I believe to the same extent that you're obedient to this word, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Great Commission. We need to make it our first priority. May God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. And I pray, dear Lord, that you remove us in this matter of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that we would set aside time in prayer. And yes, in some fasting. I know you've spoken to me in my personal life. We have an impossible task before us. We need you, Lord, so desperately. Bless now and continue to work and speak to our hearts tonight.